There's been a question that's been asked, a question that I've thought about, and it's not an uncommon question. Why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot? The Bible says that, did I not choose all of you, and yet one of you is the devil? Why would Jesus choose Satan to be a part, of His ministry? Why would He do that? Right? Because this, the 12 apostles were going to go out and preach. This was just the beginnings of the ministry of God. Why would Jesus choose the devil? And I think if you ask that question, I think that there may be other answers, but I think one of the quickest and easiest answers you would get is something like this, okay? When you go to John 12, 4 through 6, and I had to paraphrase here a little. No, this is not the one, never mind. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. I want us to know something, that when the other apostles gave this money and Judas was holding the money and it was being watched over by him, they didn't know that he was a thief. But Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus always knew what was going on. And so I think one of the quickest and easiest answers was to show how close the devil can come to us, with us and around us. Judas was a thief in charge of the money. So why would Jesus do something like this? Why would he pick a devil to walk in among them? Like I said, the easy answer is to show us that how close that the devil can actually get. You know, he can actually come in and sit in these seats. He walks around spiritually and he looks for people and he looks for their weakness and he looks to devour them. This is not a sermon so much about who the man Judas was, but what happened with how smart God was. I only have two slides, so this might go kind of quick. Depends on how much I ad lib from what's up here. Mark 3, 14 through 19. This is where I had to trim it down a little bit. It says, "Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons." And of course, from 15 to 18, it mentions all of them. And so I just cut that out. In verse 19, it says, "And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house." So the devil went out to preach, didn't he? Here was Judas. Jesus said, "I chose all 12 of you, and yet one of you is a devil." And he sent them out, and here goes the devil out with one of his people, and he goes out to preach. It's an amazing thing that the very next verse that we see in Mark chapter 3 being talked about is Satan casting out Satan, and he shows how that plan will fail. See, we would think, now this is God, remember, but he's working with people. He's working with people who are fueled by emotions, desires, hunger, sadness, rest. They're fueled by emotions. They're fueled by weakness in the flesh. They're fueled by these things. So he's working with us. And he works with us in a way that we can understand. So we would think that a plan that puts Satan in the middle of what was going on, the enemy in the middle of understanding, that this would cause the enemy to gain knowledge over God and use it against him. Right? That's what we would think. So this doesn't seem like a very smart plan to us, does it? To let your enemy in as you're talking and teaching the ones that are going to go on and start the church. This doesn't seem like a really great plan, because he's going to find out the inner workings of what's going on. He's going to find out what our next move is. But he goes on to show us here that with all this knowledge that Satan comes up with, he's the one that creates a plan that will ultimately fail. You see, going back to the garden and to various other scriptures, you will see that Satan deceived mankind and he betrayed Jesus. Now, why is that important? The reason that's important is because if you go back to the garden, the Bible shows us that Adam knew that he was not supposed to eat of the fruit. And we see that the woman was deceived. But it was the devil that betrayed mankind. Do you understand what I'm trying to show you here? You see, we can be deceived by Satan and think that we're doing something that's right. But the devil behind it knows that he's not doing right. Now see, there's a big difference there. There's a big difference there. There's a big difference there because we can see a reason for forgiveness and a reason not for forgiveness. 1 Timothy 2:12 through 14 says, "And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." Now, a lot of people would take this verse and women for a long period of time or in certain congregations, they weren't allowed to speak in church. That's not what that verse means. The context of that verse is talking about teaching and about prophecy, because before we had Scripture, before we could turn to James chapter 2 or to Romans chapter 3, we had prophecy in the church. And so the context of that statement was in prophecy, the woman was to remain silent because she wasn't given a chance. She wasn't given permission to teach a man. And a lot of people will look at that verse and say, well, that was just the culture of that time. But see, it wasn't the culture of that time. See, at that time, they had some buildings, they had some government, they had some corruption, they had money, and they had all these things that were going on. But he takes it all the way back to the garden, where there were no buildings, where there was no money, where there was no government, right? Takes it all the way back to the garden. And so now we take this scenario and take it forward to where there's multiple more buildings, more money, more corruption, more government. So it applies to us today, too. The reason that the woman was not permitted to teach a man is because of what happened in the garden. She was deceived, but the devil was the one that betrayed mankind. There's a difference between being deceived and knowing that you're doing something wrong. Don't you agree with that? And he says that in verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived who fell into transgression. Adam sinned because of a result of being deceived, which came from the devil. See, this is why man can be forgiven, but Satan cannot. You see, the reason that we disobeyed God is because we were deceived. We didn't know the difference. Now we do. And there's much more accountability put on us because we know now versus when we didn't know. But the devil, Satan saw the glory of God and he walked away. He went into this setup here with his eyes wide open. He knew what he was doing. He saw the glory of God and turned away from it. We haven't done that. We were deceived into thinking something was right when it was not. The difference between good and evil. We didn't know that prior to this, right? When it said when Eve took that fruit, was that evil intent? The answer is no. You know why? Because until she took a bite of the fruit, she didn't understand evil. She didn't understand the concept of being deceived. But Satan knew what he was doing when he walked into this situation. He went into it with his eyes wide open. Now, one of the things that has always plagued me was everybody makes mistakes. We make some really big mistakes, don't we? I mean, we can really set the needle And we can set the bar pretty high for somebody to come and do worse than we did, right? Sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. Now the devil, he made a really bad mistake. He made a really bad mistake. And I wondered, as a righteous and forgiving God, I understand the concept that he saw you and turned away. But he realized that that was wrong. You would have thought that he should have known better at the beginning, but wasn't there some way that being so loving and so merciful that you could forgive? Now, that question always didn't plague me, but it kind of did, but I just wondered, and I understood. I mean, the answer is he saw the glory of God and turned away. He's used people to persecute the church and to kill Christians. I mean, people have killed a lot of people for various reasons. Serial killers. Are they not offered forgiveness? Of course, they can find forgiveness like anyone else. But Satan was the one behind the deception. He knew what he was doing. They did not. Now, we all still suffered the penalty of sin, of the punishment that God brought on. If you go back to the garden, you will see that the woman was punished. First, the devil was punished. The woman was punished. Then the man was punished. Everybody received punishment because they disobeyed God. Why? Because he's a just God. If you do wrong, then you're punished for it. You're corrected. But then looking through this and just kind of jumping back and forth, and I had a lot more notes, but I just didn't find them relevant. They helped lead me to a point. And I think it's awesome how God did something that I knew he would never do, but yet he sort of did. Watch, I'll show you. John 6:70, Jesus answered and said to them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" Why didn't he say one of you is Satan? Right? He said the devil, or a devil. Why didn't he say Satan? And of course, so I look up the word to find out. And that word devil means a false accuser, a channel of an act to cast out. You see, Judas was simply a pawn in a much bigger game. Judas was used to accomplish something that the devil wanted. Judas was not Satan. He was simply someone listening and doing what Satan wanted. There's a big difference there. Judas was deceived. Now let me put this in perspective for you, because I want y'all to understand where this question comes from, where I was trying to realize why God couldn't forgive anyone. And I think when I say that out loud, I think that there's an automatic response that probably comes to y'all's mind, but why God couldn't forgive here. See, Judas had the same mindset that Peter did, the other apostles did. I'll show you. Judas betrayed Jesus because Judas expected Jesus to be a conquering hero, a conquering king, right? He expected him to rise up and fight against Rome. That didn't happen. And so Judas was disappointed in that. So he took matters into his own hands and he brought Jesus down. I guess he probably thought that if he delivered Jesus to the Romans and Jesus really saw how bad the Romans was, is that Jesus would call to arms Israel and they would rise up. I don't think Judas really anticipated that they would kill Jesus, even though Jesus told him that he must be betrayed and delivered to the hands of sinful men. I think Judas thought that he was furthering the kingdom of Israel. Now, the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, the apostles asked the same question. Judas is already dead at this point, and the apostles asked the same question. They said, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" See, it was the same mindset. They thought that Jesus was going to be a conquering king that was going to restore Israel so that he would go fight Rome, reestablish Israel as a country. But see, Rome wasn't the enemy. The devil was. Do you understand? See, there's a much difference, much bigger difference between being the one that's deceived and the one that's doing the deceiving. What all this means is Satan used Eve to cause the man to fall. Satan used Judas to bring down Jesus. And by doing this, Satan cast out Satan. See, now you said that this morning when we were talking about, and you said that when we harm others, we're actually harming ourselves. That's what the devil did. You see, when he deceived these people and used them to bring about the death of Christ, and this was his choice because he was in there in that inner circle. He heard the plans. He heard what they were going to do. He heard their joys. He heard their sorrows. He heard their struggles. But when he brought a plan to use Judas to kill Jesus, to bring him down, he was essentially casting himself out. He was doing himself harm. He didn't know this. And if we go back to where we were at the very beginning, when it says that in John 12, 4 through 6, Mark 3, 14 through 19, we see that we talked about Judas Iscariot. The very next verse we see about Satan casting out Satan and how that plan would fail. So before any of this ever took place, God showed you that the plan that he set up by bringing the devil into the middle of the mix was smarter than we would have thought of leaving him out of it. Because Satan crucified himself. And he did it through deception. He thought he was more powerful than God. Jesus did not hide his plan from saving the world, of dying to save the world. We can see that in Matthew 20:18. He says that I will be delivered up into the hands of sinful men. Okay? He didn't hide this plan from him dying to save the world. Now, the plan was hidden until Jesus was revealed. So don't mistake the two there, right? Jesus did hide the plan. But when he was revealed, he didn't hide from the devil. I want you to understand this. The way that the devil works is through back alley, through channels, through dark rooms, through whispers. God is not afraid of the devil. He brought him in, stood in his face, and told him exactly what he was going to do. God does not hide from anyone, no one. Now, he hid the plan until Jesus was revealed that he was the Son of God. And through him, he pronounced to the world. He didn't hide these things. God hides from no one. The devil hides. You know why? Because he's scared. He knows he's not stronger. But see, his own deception. You ever heard of somebody that if you tell a lie long enough, you believe it yourself? His own deception deceived himself. Satan simply thought when he found out the plan that was going on that he was stronger and had more control over the flesh than God. Satan even came to the place where he deceived himself. See, that's Satan casting out Satan. Satan was the ultimate deceiver. And he was so good at it that he even lied to himself. And Judas was just a pawn. You see, Judas, the reason that I believe that Judas killed himself is because he realized that once Jesus had been taken, and he realized what was going on and that Jesus was not going to escape. Jesus was not going to rise up. He realized that he had killed Christ. And he couldn't live with himself. He realized that he had betrayed the one that had come to save them. Because he saw salvation in the plan that Jesus had laid out. See, because the devil had used him. He was done with them. The devil doesn't offer a retirement plan. The devil's not going to give you something that he's promised you just because he's promised you that. He was done with Judas. And when Judas came to his senses and realized what he had done, he killed himself. Now, he could have asked for forgiveness, but he didn't. He did. Now, go back to what I said about the devil. Would the devil have asked for forgiveness? Could the devil come to a place where he understood that he had committed a horrible atrocity and he was wrong? Could he have come to that place? I want you to know that when Jesus brought the devil into the fold and Jesus told the devil all that was getting ready to happen, guess what the devil could have done? Guess what he could have done? He could have relented, couldn't he? See, there's no significance here that Jesus came to the devil and said, "I offer you forgiveness." But he showed him the plan. And the devil could have backed off and said, "I've made a great mistake. I won't make another." You see, Jesus dying and the apostles dying, and especially the early Christians dying, proved that Satan was wrong in this. See, the death of Jesus, as we're told in Revelation, it broke the power of death. He took the keys of death and Hades away from the devil. And what that is, it was a complete separation from God. The devil could look at God and say, "Okay, you've got their soul, but I've got their body. I've got their body. It's in the grave and you can't get it. And if you get it, you've got to forgive me if you forgive them." So you know what God did? He came up with this plan that for anyone that would ask for forgiveness could receive it. They would accept the truth, okay? We don't just say, "God, please forgive me," and we're forgiven. It doesn't work that way. But for anyone that would accept the truth, and you guess who knew the truth? The devil. You see? The devil was right. He said, "If you forgive them, you've got to forgive me. If you're going to offer forgiveness to mankind for betraying you, you've got to offer me forgiveness." And you know, when he brought him in and he showed him the plan, the devil could have relented. The devil could have not done this. But he deceived himself and thought that he was stronger. See, if Satan saw the plan, why did he not simply relent? See, this shows us how much the devil hated God. He hated God. God made known the plan, and through the devil's hatred, he even deceived himself. Do you see how much hatred we can have when we can do something that's irreversible? Hatred is a horrible, horrible, I don't want to call it a sickness because it's not, but I'm just saying it will eat away at you. Anger, frustration, hatred. Caused the devil to deceive himself because he hated God so much. He had a chance to not do what he did. God told him that "I'm going to die to save mankind," and he hated him. He said, "You're going to die. No, I'm going to kill you, and I'm stronger than you." And he said, "I'll hold this over their heads." But he never expected the resurrection of Christ. Never expected it. When Jesus was laid to rest, he danced. Revelation tells us that he danced for 3.5 days, gave gifts, and thought that this was the wonderful thing because he had killed the Son of God. And then Jesus raised from the dead. And see, the only power that the devil ever held was deception and that flesh. And Jesus took it both away from him. He said, "Now here I am. What are you going to do now?" That's why the devil was cast out of heaven. Because the Bible says in Revelation 12 that Jesus ascended and the devil took off after him because he was furious. And they fought. That battle's a hardy fought because the Bible says he was cast down to the earth. Is it Thessalonians or Peter says that he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour because he is furious because he hates God. Don't let him use you and deceive you. Because see, his deception has come full circle. He even deceived himself. And because of the hatred and the anger that he had towards God, this is what happened to him. He deceived himself. And he took away any chance. See, God showed me the answer to my question. The reason that he didn't forgive Satan, I truly believe it's because he saw the glory of God and turned away. And there is no excuse for doing something like that. There's none. There's none for looking at the face of someone who trusts you and to betray them. There's no reason for that. But God showed me that the reason that the devil couldn't be forgiven is because he wouldn't be forgiven. He hated God. You see, all these things that we think are righteous and that we stand up and we do this and do that, be careful who's behind them. Because the people that were deceived by Satan were simply used by him. And they thought they were doing right. That's what the deception is. Satan knows the difference between right and wrong. Come on, we know the difference between right and wrong. But the deception is that we think we were doing right. Remember Peter said, I wouldn't let you die? See, Peter thought he was doing the right thing. But he was being deceived by Satan that the death of Jesus was the worst thing that could happen. That wasn't the worst thing that could happen. The worst thing that could happen is to be in a place like Satan where you deceive even yourself. You see, if someone said that God was not a merciful God, that he was not a righteous God, that he was not he didn't show partiality, and he offered forgiveness to anyone, including the devil. Okay? That he said, I'll forgive you. You know, what happened right here proves that he wouldn't have took it. He wouldn't have took it. He hated God. Now, there's degrees out there in life where people have an interaction with religion, that have an interaction with the truth. There are various degrees of deception that goes on. Let me tell you something. Y'all know the truth. The devil is scared of you because you know the truth. He can't deceive you the way that he deceived these others. He can't use you the way that he used these others. Do you understand? He is scared of you. Jesus brought the devil into the inner midst, into his inner circle to know the truth. He was not afraid. And you don't have to be afraid when you speak up against deception. Because deception and lying are two different things. The devil lied to deceive us because he knew the truth. There's a lot of people out here that have been lied to and they are deceived because they do not know the truth. Understand what your mission is as a Christian, one of those things, right? We all have something to do, and this is something that every Christian does. It is not your responsibility to save their soul. That's God's. It is only your responsibility to help sort out their deception because you know the truth. You don't have to be scared of the devil. You don't have to be scared of his accusations. You don't have to be scared of what he can take from you because his house, Jesus said before he did it, it would fall. Satan cannot cast out Satan by Satan because that house would fall. And that's where he came to. He came to a place where he deceived himself. He truly thought that he was stronger than God. He was not. Jesus died. The apostles died. The early Christians died. And we die. We die sacrificial deaths. We die in that watery grave of baptism. All of these things. The devil can't deceive us any longer. And that's one of the things that Peter did on the day of Pentecost. When he stood up to those Israelites, he said the truth to them. He said, most assuredly I say to you that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. See, he took away the deception. And for those that saw the truth, they asked, what shall we do? And he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And when I look at the hatred that the devil has for God, I can't understand it. Now, we would think we understand hate, right? We get mad at people. We want to hold grudges. We get furious. We would think we understand hate. But this kind of hate, I don't understand. And we got to be careful, because we can be led in this direction. It's called deception. We got to hold on to the truth. We are agents of the truth. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?